It's Tuesday.
And now it's time again for your
favorite show.
It better be good.
Why? Why does it have to be?
Why would they keep doing it?
Wouldn't you then?
That wouldn't be a good thing for you.
And why is that?
Why? Why is that?
Because if you don't, you'll miss it.
Miss what?
Greatest show ever.
It's the greatest show of all time.
On a Tuesday?
I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Boom! It's showtime!
Live and local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
Greatest show ever. Boom! It's showtime! Do the jazz hands with me. Come on. It makes you feel good when you do the jazz hands. Showtime! Puts a smile on my face, I tell you. I have to keep a smile on my face with everything that is going around because it is just, it does. It wears on you. It makes you crazy. Frankie, stop going crazy. Everybody else, stop going crazy. It is the Monica J Show, but it's also your show. 884-9910, talk and text. We have a great guest joining us at 11 o'clock. And I have been telling you for 8 months now, this is where it's going. And unless you stand up and say something, well, then the communists have won. You know how I feel. Calling it socialism? Pfft, we're already a socialist country. Look at the power that people are wielding. Just look at it. Election, COVID, inauguration. Let me start off by reading you something. I wish I knew the author. Texted the person who sent it to me. They texted the person who sent it to them. And we have no author. So we just have to leave it at that. But here we go. In case you have not heard this, 'twas the weekend before Kraken. 'Twas the weekend before Kraken. And all through the land, the lefties were trembling at the cards in Trump's hand. The patriots were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of perp walks danced in their heads. The laptops recovered in a raid days ago shed new light on the crimes of our treasonous foe. When up on the web there arose such a clatter, big tech blocking accounts like free speech didn't matter. Impeachment was threatened, Amendment 25. The Trump administration must not survive. They screamed from the rooftops on every news show, this bad, bad orange man has just got to go. But Donald J. Trump had a card up his sleeve, a card so glorious no one could believe. You see, he had caught them. He set a big trap. He knew they would try this election fraud crap. He watched them all do it all in real time. He was sure that Mike Pence would certify their crime. This intel had told him they'd planned a false flag to make sure Trump's destruction was all in the bag. The Dems told Antifa, show up in disguise. Wear your MAGA hats backwards so no one will get wise. When we start the debate, you'll all storm inside. Don't worry. The police will open the doors wide. We will blame all your damage on Trump and his fans. So never again will Trump thwart our plans. Trump knew Dems would do this. He sent special ops. They dressed like Antifa, and grabbed laptops. Upon them was evidence of egregious crimes. The deep state had done this crap so many times. Straight to the military, the evidence went. Charges of treason were now imminent. No screaming or crying would stop what was to come. Resignation and prison and Gitmo for some. Military tribunals will convict all these traitors who stole an election because they were haters. When the trials are done and the votes are all right, crimes done in the darkness have come to the light. Trump will be sworn in to finish his 8, and we will continue to make America great. I love it. I absolutely love it, whoever put that together. God bless you. Thank you so much. I hope that made some people feel good. I really do. I hope that made you feel good. If you missed it, if you want a copy of it, well, you know, we always have our podcast. Give it a day or so to go up. Sometimes they don't go up immediately, but that's okay. It's all about patience. People don't have patience anymore. We are an immediate gratification society. I mean, to the point where people will go online and they'll buy something on sale. They think they got a really good price. And then they'll pay $24 extra to have it overnighted. We have no patience. And I think that is a truly sad thing. Ooh, almost started rhyming there. Almost started like the started to sound like the poem. No, it's true. You know, we used to send letters. You'd write a letter to someone, you sent it off, and that took a couple days. You waited for a response. You know, maybe they sat on it for a couple days. So, you know, you got it maybe 5 or 6 days later. And then we had this incredible thing called a telephone. So if you needed something urgently, you called people. What if they weren't at their phone? What if they weren't at the office? What if you weren't at home? You got to know. We're impatient. So now we have cell phones. Well, people are in meetings. They put their cell phones on silent. No, I need a response right now. So we text. You have the text on a screen so it pops right up no matter what you're doing. People have no patience anymore. And sometimes the really good stuff comes at the very last minute. Maybe even when somebody has their hand raised and one hand on a Bible. Or, in this case, the Communist Manifesto. Because that is exactly what you are seeing happening to this country. It is in their playbook. If people actually picked up books and read anymore, or even used their computer to read, read The Naked Communist, The Communist Manifesto, whatever your reading choice, you would see everything that the Dems, the left, the libs are doing right now, the progressives. It is all spelled out. So much so that these books are actually being banned. Why would you do that? Why would you censor all of this stuff? Because you don't want people to have information. You don't want them to have the information. It's plain and simple. So what do? You dig and you dig and you dig until you find that information. We don't live in a socialist country. We don't live in what's becoming a communist country. Really? Tell that to Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow, a Christian man who wears his faith on his sleeve, on his lapel, literally. He's always got a cross showing. Huge supporter of President Trump. It's got a great product. All kinds of good products. It's a good thing that you can get his products online. Because Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's are not going to sell his products any longer. So just like we saw Amazon dumping Parler, Amazon dumping books they don't like, Facebook dumping the sales of from people they don't like, it's all being censored. But it's not just being censored. This is people's livelihood. Imagine that. Affecting people's livelihood. But they're a private company. So they can do whatever they want. Well, guess what? The only reason that those companies are in existence is because of you and me. So, what are your thoughts? Do you take your money elsewhere? Do you shop directly online with the products and the people that you want to support? You better start. Because this is just the beginning. If this continues on the way that, well, half of the country think it's going to go this way, half of the country thinks it's going to go this way. What do you have faith in? Do you have faith in people? Do you have faith in what could possibly be a military operation? I know where my faith lies. And that's my opinion. You have to decide where yours lies. Because nobody else can make decisions for you. Nobody else can or should put words in your mouth, put thoughts into your head. It's all you. But we have been erased as a society as to not be able to think for ourselves, to not be able to have our opinions. We have to jump onto the bandwagon of someone else to get to what we think. Bandwagons are not good. Free thought. Free expression, freedom of speech, freedom of ideas, things to be able to cultivate. That's good. But that's being shut down around us. So much so that even the Washington Post let an op-ed go through from a gentleman who is calling on heavyweight telecommunications corporations to shut down conservative cable news outlets like Fox News, One America News, and Newsmax. I'm sorry. Isn't that a person's right to choose? The freedom of choice? Where you're going to get your news from? Again, go back to the Communist Manifesto. Do you think that the CCP, do you think China can get their news from anywhere? Or does it come directly from the government? The same with Iran, Russia. When the government controls your news, your education, your ability to make a living, they control you. Mission accomplished. We'll be back right after this quick break. Phone lines, talk and text open up at 884-9910. Let's celebrate Tuesday with great free speech. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Kids, it's time for dinner.
When you want a meal without a big deal and you don't really mind the potential presence of a foreign material, reach for Hot Pockets, filled with delicious pepperoni pizza, chicken and cheddar, or ham and cheese.
And maybe some plastic or glass.
Wait, what?
All served up in a crispy pocket. Warning, over 700,000 pounds of Hot Pockets may contain plastic or glass. Eat at your own risk.
Plastic or glass in your Hot Pockets. Plastic or glass in your Hot Pockets.
Ow!
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today. And anytime I can get a few minutes from you. If I can't, then guess what? We got our podcast at 991fmtalk.com. Also there is today's poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. City of Reno spent $3.9 million in COVID funds on Reno City Hall. Now, they say they want to be good stewards of the relief funds. You can actually go on and see a list of where these funds were spent. So in your opinion, were they good stewards of relief funds? Yes or no? Log on, 991fmtalk.com. Yesterday's poll question, should the use of bulletproof vests be banned for civilians? 3% said yes, participating in the poll. 46% said no. 8% said right after guns and Bibles are banned. 27% said no. And firearms should not be banned either. No special rules for special people. And then this one, I went to bed last night in the USA, woke up in South America with 25,000 troops on the dictator's doorstep. Maybe we all need bulletproof vests. Well, something's going to happen. Something's up. I just received this text from a friend in the know. I'm getting a headache holding my breath. Well, stop holding your breath. Breathe deep. Something is going on in D.C., and it is not inauguration prep. I think if you are in your right mind, you can actually see that. National Guard troops being vetted? What? Let's hit the talk and text lines and check in with Vance this morning. Vance, what's on your mind?
You're going through that laundry list. I got a big grin on my face. Probably because you, me, and a number of other people have some semblance of an idea of what's in the works. So anyways, you mentioned the Communist Manifesto, and something I mentioned last week was the Constitution of the USSR circa 1936, until the collapse of the Soviet Union, or, as some of us know, call it, Stalin's Constitution. And if you go to Chapter 10 and read Chapter 10, there's the Democrat platform. Now, one that I've memorized, I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but one that I've memorized out of Chapter 10 is Article 124. You hear the Democrats and these commies and these progressives and all the others say separation of church and state, separation of church and state. Well, let's see, what does Article 124 cover? Separation of church and state. And then we can go back even further, back to New Harmony, Illinois, and the first experiment here on U.S. soil. Actually, it's the first experiment, period, of what we come to know as communism. And you've got Robert Owens, his Declaration of Mental Independence. Folks, go read that one as well as the Communist Manifesto. And by the way, I've got three copies of it, digital. I've got it on notebook. And I've lost my third copy. I can't find it somewhere, of the Communist Manifesto. And I've read it several times over the past 50 years. Yes, folks, that's how old I am. So, anyways, have fun, y'all. Have fun.
Thank you, Vance. Appreciate it. All right. We've got Bhavani's on the line, and we got more people calling in, but we've got to take a quick Fox News break here. But we'll be back with more of your comments on the talk and text line. And, you know, more things that are just true that the Democrats seem to get around, like the fact that the National Guard has been vetted. They all took an oath. All the same oath, but, you know, for some that just have to have, you know, that feeling around them, they need more. All right, we'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Today's show is brought to you by Tuesday. I wonder if it's called Tuesday because it's the second day of the week.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, and we've got a lot to talk about, and that's coming up. Boys and Girls Club of the Truckee Meadows, what is up? If you're not with me, just after 11 o'clock, we're going to be talking about mandatory vaccinations or you lose your job? Yeah. We'll talk about that just after 11. And boy, you make me a better talk show host, giver. I don't know, whatever you want to call me. Watch it. So many people enthralled with the 'twas the weekend before Kraken that I read at the beginning of the show that people were texting and asking for it. And I was like, well, this was sent to me through Facebook Messenger. So what do? I got online. I found it for you. So I am going to put it onto our website under my page. But if you want to look it up for yourself, it's at TrumpDispatch.com. TrumpDispatch.com. So, very interesting. Love that. That was only put out there a couple of days ago, actually. All right, let's go to the talk and text lines because we have a very special guest joining us in just a moment. We're going to talk about the history of Nevada. But right now, Bhavani wants to talk about our country. Bhavani, thank you so much for calling in today. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I had a an episode happened on Sunday night over at Sprouts Farmers Market on the South Meadows. You know, actually on the way to the police station to submit a report, I was literally attacked by this idiot. that this kid, that the cashier there by the name of Dana, when I went in and got my electric cart because I'm you know, I'm on crutches and wheelchair and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I did my shopping and I came and had a load of stuff because I had, you know, run out of all this produce that I juice. I'm a juicer, you know, so I'm constantly juicing things. Anyway, I carried in my personal shopping bags because I'm ecology conscious of our environment. And, you know, I just want to not add on to the number of trees that are being chopped down annually for the multi-billion dollar paper industry. I laid my shopping bags on a counter and he says, I can't touch that. And I said, really? I said, why is that? And he says, we're not allowed to touch anything because of COVID. And I said, well, that's interesting because all these items have been touched not only by me, but by everybody else that comes in here shopping. So I said, really, does that make any sense to you? And he gave me some robotic remark, so I said to him, well, I guess you don't think. And at that, he went ballistic and he started, yelling. I was insulting him that I had being rude and he doesn't have to wait on me, because of my rudeness. And then the night supervisor there came by. They had been talking, and you know, before there was hardly anybody in the store. It's just about three people. It was about eight o'clock, and he tells him, and I said no, I didn't insult him. It was just conversation. So from that point on, well, he continued to pack my things up. Put them on the counter to check me out. But I had to bag my own stuff. And all the while he's making these rude comments at me and, you know, sarcasm. So I got my one of the bags and put it in the car and I went to the car and I realized, oh my gosh, I left half my stuff on the counter because he had put a whole bunch of my stuff on the counter behind him. So I went back for it and I was bagging the stuff up, and all the while he's making these rude comments to me. You know, he's just being very sarcastic.
Well, and I think you made an appropriate comment that he just doesn't think, because why wouldn't you just put on a pair of gloves like, you know, half of the other worried Nessies out there do?
I know, really. It just didn't make any sense. So anyway, after that, I was leaving the store and I was headed for the back door, the door that I'd come in actually, because I had my crutches there and I wanted to pick up my crutches and I hear this loud shouting behind me, you can't go that way. And I said, okay. And they said, you have to go back to the other end of the store. And I said, okay. I grabbed my crutches and turning around, I had my crutches across the top because I couldn't get them in the cart. I swiped off a bunch of boxes. I think there were cracker boxes that were on display on this rickety stand there on the end of the aisle. And he comes running out and he's ballistic. I mean, he is yelling. He says, you did that on purpose. You did that on purpose. You pick up every one of those and stack the shelves. I said I didn't do it on purpose. I misjudged my crutches, swiped them off, and he's yelling at me and he's trying to stop my cart and he's trying to pull the key out of the cart, and I just kept on going towards the door. I said I'm calling the police. So he then he's shaking the cart, shaking me with me in it, and then. I continue to go, and he grabs my arm, and he has it in a grip, and I yanked my arm away, and I said, "That's assault. I'm calling the police." So I head for the door, and he's running after me with all kinds of obscenities, and I thought he was going to be running out, you know, right out into the parking lot, but he was stopped inside the door by the service supervisor and another customer, so they came out after me, the two gentlemen, and they were concerned about how I was. They wanted to know how I, you know, if I was okay, and I said, "Well, I'm a bit shook up. I'm calling the police," and I called Ceres. Called Reno Police Department, and she says, "Well, it's not in your contacts. We can't." So at this point, the two men were talking. "I've never seen anything like this," and the customer was saying, "Yeah," he says, "it was really bad. I never seen anything like that." So anyway, the service supervisor was taking some notes on his notepad, and the customer also gave him his information in case he needed any extra information, to contact him. So this is what I'm doing. So what I'm doing right now, I have it written up, and I'm presenting it over to the police department, and Sprouts. I understand that they're being sued. Joey Bishop is suing them.
Joey Gilbert.
In Elon. Yeah, oh, that's not Joey Bishop. Yeah. Now I'm telling you my age, you know. So anyway, Joey Gilbert. So the next thing I got to do is I got to contact him. But this is what happened, and this is wow. So frightening. To realize how brainwashed.
I know, Bhavani, because I know you, and you're, you know, I'm sorry, but you are a petite, tiny woman. So for an employee to grab you by the arm, to be shaking you, trying to shake you out of a cart, you know, while you've got your crutches and the rest of your, you know, your belongings, that is unacceptable behavior. And I don't understand why the supervisor at Sprouts let it go that far. You know, that's wonderful that he walked out to check on you, but for to go that far is unacceptable. Bhavani, I've got other people. Go ahead.
He wasn't right there when it was happening. But he just saw the tail end of it. He saw him, you know. Well,
he needs to have better visuals than over his employees, because, like I said, that is unacceptable. But I have to get I've got to get to another guest. Please let me know how this turns out. I want to hear back from you with the results of talking to Joey and law enforcement of what happens, and just, you know. If you go into Sprouts, what was that teller's name again?
Dana. He's a tall, young fellow, you know.
Okay, so make sure you stay away from Dana. That is absolutely for sure. So, Bhavani, thank you.
Well, I'm going back there again.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be going back there again either. So, Bhavani, thank you so much for the story. I appreciate your time today. All right. We will be right back with an author of Nevada history. And you know what? Our little state here is pretty dang cool. We'll be right back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1 FM Talk.
No, the easiest way to remember us is just your favorite radio station, or at least your favorite radio show. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I hope you have a smile on your face, because if you don't by now, you will be after hearing this story. Got a special guest with me right now. Local author Ken Beaton is joining us and has a new book that was written with Steve Ransom, and it is about Nevada vets. We love our military, and this is a great way to celebrate them. It's called The Legacies of the Silver State. Nevada Goes to War. Ken, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Monica.
So let's talk about this book. What prompted you to put it together?
Well, mostly Steve and I have written a number of stories that were printed in the Nevada Appeal. And we decided to let's make this a little bit longer lasting than just a column in a newspaper. And if you have it in the book form, books will last a lot longer. And mm-hmm. And so there's 71 different vet stories. And they're not just men. There's at least two of mine are female vet stories from World War II.
Well, I was going to ask, how far does it go back to the military history in Nevada?
Well, this is just World War II because these were vets that were still alive when we interviewed them. I've given eulogies at two of the vets that I wrote about. Sadly to say, and I wrote their obituaries for their widows.
Yeah, so. our greatest generation is dying off left and right. This was called the Greatest Generation for a reason. These people went into battle for reasons that we never thought would even be possible in the world. With Germany and with what happened with Japan and the surprise attack on us. What was one of the most memorable stories that you're taking out of the book that you can just share with people?
One of the most memorable was a gentleman who graduated from high school in 1940 and in November of 1940 got his parents' signature, because you could be 17 if you had a parental signature.
Right.
You could join the Navy. So he joined the Navy, went to boot camp, and then he got assigned to Pearl Harbor on the Nevada. And so he turned 18 years old in the latter part of February 1941 on the Nevada. And Charles is still alive. He came to Carson City back in 2015, and we nicknamed him Nevada's oldest adopted son.
Oh, I love that. My cheeks are hurting. I'm smiling so much.
He spent five birthdays on the Nevada, and he had a wonderful time when he was here. In fact, for the better part of one of the mornings, Bob Nyland gave him a tour. I was along with it, and in the back rooms of the museum. But he was on the ship during the entire war, and after she got repaired after the attack on December 7th, she went to Bremerton, Washington, and got entirely re-outfitted. Went through the Panama Canal, and then she did several convoy duties, escorting convoys back and forth across the Atlantic. And while she was on convoy duty, every day they had gunnery practice, so that when the Nevada was part of the bombardment group on June 6th at Utah Beach, which was separated from Omaha Beach, and she provided a bombardment of the Germans so that they could not even mount a counterattack against our forces. And so the 4th Infantry Division was able to go inland and establish a beachhead very easily on that first day of the invasion on June 6th.
See, we have such a history with Nevada and vets here, and I have to thank you so much, because all of the proceeds of Legacies of the Silver State, Nevada Goes to War, is actually going to Honor Flight Nevada. And that, I hope you know, is an organization very near and dear to my heart. Flying our vets, you know, back to Washington, D.C. so they can see the different memorials in their honor. Finding your book, I'm assuming, yes, you can get it on Amazon. But really, the way you want to get it is local. Support local businesses like the Purple Avocado in Carson City. And that's off of Curry Street, right?
Yes. That's, in fact, it's right on North Curry Street.
And also Code Coffee, one of my favorites, here in Reno. So support local businesses, support a local author, and I just hope this goes gangbusters for you, Ken, and we get lots of copies out there, because this is incredible. Nevada has such a rich history, and it's not taught in the schools. So this is how you have to learn real history from real stories. And I have to say, Ken, and for you and Steve, thank you from the bottom of my heart, because my great uncle was in World War II, and somebody took the time to videotape him and get his stories, because this literally is for prosperity. So Ken Beaton, Steve Ransom, it's called Legacies of the Silver State, Nevada Goes to War. Get it at the Purple Avocado in Carson and at Code Coffee in Reno and Amazon, blah, blah, blah. But Ken, thank you so much for being here today and for doing all of this.
Well, thank you, Monica. You know, most people know that I'm a retired teacher, but they think that I taught history. I didn't. I taught business subjects. But the history is a passion of mine.
Yeah.
And
I wish it were more people's passion.
Okay.
Yeah. Ken, thank you so much. And we'll be back with more and what's going on with the Boys and Girls Club right after this.